If it's okay with you all, I'd like to start this show off with a quote. This is from a piece by friend of the show, Greg Bishop, writing about Josh Allen from November 2020. It's a very good story, and it still holds up 14 months later. You should go read it if you have a chance. Allen, however, is merely playing a supporting role in this podcast episode, and we'll explain that in a minute. But this is the quote I want to start with. Quote, "The future of the game is the quarterback's ability to create time and space. I do think Josh Rosen is the last quarterback who will ever be taken high in the draft whose main attribute is not movement." End quote. Those are the words of Jordan Palmer, a private quarterback coach in Southern California who trains Allen, among others, in the offseason. And at the time, again, fall of 2020, it was difficult to find anything wrong with that claim. When we talk about movement, it's not just Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Kyler Murray, the guys who threaten 100 rushing yards and or multiple rushing touchdowns every week. This is also guys like Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Dak Prescott, who utilize mobility to create that time and space, and that allows them to unleash arm talent that puts incredible stress on opposing defenses. But then, last spring, along came Mac Jones. Jones was the most polarizing player in the 2021 NFL draft, a class defined by five headlining quarterback prospects. Last spring, if you pay attention to social media, which we shouldn't, but we do, 49ers fans were threatening to all but, you know, I don't know, maybe muss up the carefully folded t-shirts at Levi Stadium's team shop if the 49ers took Mac Jones third overall. Ultimately, Jones fell to 15th on draft night into the patient arms of the Patriots. And with 2 weeks to go in the regular season, even coming off back-to-back subpar performances, it's indisputable that Mac Jones has had the best season of all the rookie quarterbacks selected last spring. Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL Podcast. I'm Gary Gramling.
I'm Jenny Brentis.
And I'm Connor Orr.
And this show is going to be all about Mac Jones, or more accurately, mostly about Mac Jones, and very much about what Mac Jones's early success in the NFL means for Jones, for the Patriots, and for the future of the constantly evolving process of quarterback evaluations. And we're going to start things off by trying to get a better sense of the man himself. So, Jenny, you've done a little bit of reporting on Jones for a piece that's going to be coming out soon. Just give us a sense of who he was at Alabama, where he was obviously a longtime backup and then a one-year starter.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of his development was that he was at Alabama for four seasons. He was behind Jalen Hurts and then Tua Tagovailoa. So he had to bide his time. He had to wait. Butch Jones, who was on that Alabama staff, praised Mac for not entering the transfer portal, for waiting it out, for waiting his turn and soaking up as much information as he could in the meantime. But also inherent in that was probably a recognition that he did need some time to develop and that Alabama, watching other quarterbacks play, was as great of a place to do it. I think the other part of that is there were multiple offensive coordinators and offensive analysts, a lot of different voices and input. He got to see a lot of different styles, different wrinkles, learn from different voices. I mean, obviously Nick Saban is the voice at Alabama, but his offensive room has been kind of a landing spot for a lot of different offensive-minded coaches who were once at the highest level or taking a step back. And so I think for quarterbacks who go through there, it is a really great place to develop because you're exposed to a lot of different concepts, a lot of things that are popular in college now, sure, but also pro-style verbiage and pro-style ideas. One thing that really stood out to me was that one of Mac Jones's teammates in the quarterback's room described how because they had so much skill and talent at Alabama, a lot of the focus was adding different window dressing to kind of the same core plays. And that reminds me a lot of the Patriots, not necessarily the talent mismatch, because we all know Alabama's talent versus other college programs is a lot bigger between any difference between NFL teams, but the idea that you would take concepts but run them out of a different formation or a different personnel grouping or vice versa to exploit mismatches and set up mismatches. So he was learning and growing as a quarterback with these basic ideas that are fundamental to both Nick Saban's team, but also Bill Belichick's team. The other thing that stood out was that in college, there's obviously a lot of restrictions on how much time coaches can spend with players in the off season. And so at Alabama, they would have summer classroom sessions with their coaches where they would do installs. And then it was up to the players to lead player-led workouts on the field by themselves to practice what they learned at those installs. And again, by the time that Mac was a full-time starter, it was his fourth year at Alabama. He had started some games the previous season when Tua was injured, but 2020 was his first year as a full-time starter. So he took the lead in those summer workouts. And it wasn't just, hey, let's run some routes on air. Let's practice, you know, this kind of throw. It was, let's literally run what we learned in the classroom and let's mimic things. Let's pretend what happens if a blitzer's coming off the edge, or how would we make a certain adjustment against different coverages? Even if they weren't actually playing against those coverages, he would ask his teammates to imagine certain scenarios and practice against them. And I think it's a pretty high level of mastery of the offense, and then also being able to lead his teammates so they could get in that kind of work. And one of his teammates said it was almost as if Coach Saban was on the field, or their offensive coaches at the time was Sarkisian, and none of them were there, but to have that ability to lead those workouts to the level of detail that Mac did, I think is another layer of the preparation that he had. So I think we talk about all of these things because when you're evaluating quarterbacks in the draft, you want a guy that can come in and contribute right away. And I think in recent years, as the NFL has been more willing to embrace movement and athleticism and using that in offenses, which is a great thing and was much delayed. But I think there's also been this idea that for a quarterback to contribute right away in today's NFL, they need to have that ability when things break down to create plays off schedule with their legs. You know, at the very least, if the pass concepts aren't working out, you know, they have some inherent playmaking ability. And I think what Mac brings is, while he doesn't necessarily have that ability to create with his legs, although I will say he apparently would always win the post-practice sprints among the big skill players. So that included quarterbacks, tight ends, linebackers at Alabama. Now, I'm sure those other positions were running more during practice and may have been a little bit tired, but he has, you know, he has some mobility there. The idea that, you know, a quarterback could come in as a rookie and would have other attributes that would allow him to start from day one beyond mobility, I think has been an interesting concept for teams around the league to see this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it, right? He is a first reaction player in a league where, there's been sort of an expanding of minds as far as getting guys who can also make those second reaction plays, which I think is a possibility for Mac Jones on some snaps, but not a strength, not something you'd underline as something he does terribly well in his game. But I do want to throw it to Connor just for a few moments. Don't take too long, Connor. Connor, of course, wrote the magazine cover story for the December issue, which was all about how, basically coaches and teams are harnessing the second reaction ability of this sort of new, almost, just incredibly talented upcoming class of young quarterbacks that we have in the league right now.
Yeah, and I think it was sort of a reverse engineering of the discovery process, whereas someone like Mac was always sort of the quarterback that coaches were looking for because he did throw on schedule, he understood the rules, he had the solid foundation, and I think the problem became that those guys became fewer and far between, and other coaches were winning with more regularity simply by finding the best athlete at their school and giving them the ball and then figuring out the rest of it later. And so it's interesting, you know, to view both sides of the process, where there is the total engineering, which is Mac Jones is your ideal sort of prototypical quarterback, versus, you know, let's try to expand the field as much as possible, and then we will teach that person sort of the key fundamentals, and then we will hope that it combines into this package where you can utilize him at the next level. And I think what's interesting is, with in both cases, right, if you talk to any of the big quarterback gurus out there, they're going to say that it necessitates the solid platform, the throwing foundation. There were guys that I talked to even now that were saying, I wish I could work with Lamar Jackson because he still needs to replicate the throw and make everything more consistent. And if he did that, he would be unstoppable. But I think it's interesting that, like, that is still the baseline. Like, you still need to have everything come out of your hand similarly at the beginning. And then what you want, you hope, is the goal that that athletic ability, the movement skills, then adds a wrinkle in and becomes more of who the player is. And it gets complicated, right? I mean, there are some guys that rely exclusively on that. Like, I remember, you know, like Vince Young comes to mind in the NFL, right? Or there are guys that utilize it really smart, you know, like Russell Wilson or some of these other players, Patrick Mahomes, where you see that the athletic ability is the complementary and not the absolute.
So, as I mentioned at the top, we have, you know, five highly regarded headlining quarterbacks that came into the league in 2021. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance, who we obviously haven't seen a whole lot of to this point. But there is no doubt that Mac Jones has outperformed all of them and is, you know, the front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year, is the guy who is, you know, most likely to not only get to the playoffs, but get there as his team's starting quarterback. And it just sort of raises the question, will this affect how teams are evaluating quarterbacks going forward? Are we going to see something where, you know, teams are starting to move back to, okay, let's get, you know, a first reaction player. Let's get a fast processor, a fast decision maker, and try and build around him in what we'll call, for shorthand, a more traditional NFL offense, what you would have seen in the 90s, what you would have seen in the early 2000s. You know, when you do talk about every other position, you talk about prototypes and, you know, let's get someone like this. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and yet it is... It's just, it's not something you see someone trying to pick out a Tom Brady skill set because there is so much unknown with the way a guy is going to be able to process once he gets to the highest level of football.
Yeah. And I think, Gary, you want all of those things. Like, if you can have an excellent passer who has mobility and the ability to create, I think that's great. But I think what we've seen the last couple of years is that the pocket passer types are now getting dinged a little bit, which is interesting because it took the NFL so long to catch up to embracing the movement ability of quarterbacks. And I would almost say that, you know, the pocket passers are now getting dinged despite that. But I think it's maybe also because of it, because the NFL is just kind of, these archetypes for positions are, you know, kind of get stuck in the mud at different times, right? So at this point, you really want the athletic guy. And so I think the shift to embracing that has also meant that the traditional pocket passer type is getting dinged. I think what Mac Jones shows is that maybe those kinds of quarterbacks have gotten dinged a little bit too much, and that you can still have success. Now, a lot of things have to go right. And I think in some ways, the fact that he is at the Patriots is both good and bad. Like, yes, everybody around the league likes to copy what the Patriots do, but also it's easy to say, well, they're a stable, successful organization. They created a environment for him to succeed with a throwback run game and a physical offensive line and a good defense. But, you know, I think Belichick said, listen, we can win with a high floor quarterback. And yes, we've created this system around him to be successful. However, we're picking this guy for reasons. And sure, he might be this pocket type passer that's been dinged a little bit, but he has all of these other compensating factors, accurate and gets the ball out quickly and, you know, came of age in these Alabama offenses and learned a lot of different things because of it, and certainly was trained by Belichick's best friend in coaching, Nick Saban. So I think the recalibration is probably somewhere in the middle. Like, yes, you'd love to have all of these things in one quarterback, but if a guy doesn't have the mobility, if he has enough compensating factors, then you probably can win with that player. And I think for the Patriots, maybe that calculation was a little bit easier for them to make because they had a quarterback like Tom Brady who didn't have this other dimension of his game. And you hate to say that because obviously Brady has all of these other things that no other quarterback in the league has. But I think maybe that's also part of the point, right? Is that if you have enough compensating factors, you can have some success. And they're not saying that Mac Jones is going to win the Super Bowl in year one, although for a little bit this season, we did think a Bucks-Patriots Super Bowl was possible. But he's a guy that you can win with, and he has enough things that make the fact that his mobility isn't his strength worth selecting him high, which is where it goes back to that quote you read at the opening of the show, Gary. And it is a little bit against the trend that people, some people expected that if a guy didn't have movement skills, he couldn't be valued that high. And I think the fact that Belichick is making it work with a rookie high floor quarterback is really making a statement that other teams are noticing.
I think what's really fascinating about that, right, is that it goes in eras a little bit and it takes a while for a sea change. And so we're in the era right now where, like, Lamar Jackson's quarterbacks coach told me, if I'm working with a 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grader, because Lamar Jackson's quarterback coach is a high school English teacher and does, like, you know, he has Lamar Jackson as a client, but also, like, kids all the time. And they ask me for my advice. They say, well, I'm not athletic. Can I still play quarterback? And he said, well, my advice is to get athletic, is to figure out how to do that, because that's a prerequisite at this point. And I think what happened is for so long in the NFL, every quarterback looked the same. And so that's what you get through the filtration process of kids down at the youth level. But now every quarterback is looking different and is being encouraged to put their hands on the ball. And so you're going to have a wave of kids come through that are Kyler Murray's and Russell Wilson's and Justin Herbert's and, like, all these different body types, shapes, sizes, movement abilities. And then you're going to have that wave. But if Mac Jones succeeds, Tom Brady stays in the NFL, if there's another example of that, then I think you probably get a back wave again of, you know, and I think it's interesting how success at the NFL level then sort of pings the future generation and informs kind of all these people coming up. Because if you look at the outliers, the guys who busted through here, I mean, Kyler Murray is, you know, the child of a, you know, whatever you want to call it, the, you know, a former professional athlete, but, you know, the football equivalent of a dance dad, right? I mean, somebody who was not going to take no for an answer. Lamar Jackson, another example of a player who had a parent who was not going to take no for an answer. Same with Russell Wilson. And so, you know, unless you have the ability to punch through and you're an outlier, you know, it makes it kind of difficult. But I think that success at that level then informs who's coming through. So I think maybe for the next few years, you're still going to see more, I don't know, Kyler Murray's, you know, maybe like a Josh Allen type, you know, but I think behind that then comes probably a wave of Mac Joneses again.
Yeah. And I think in talking to some people around the league, it was a little bit split. You know, I talked to Jim Nagy, who runs the Senior Bowl, and he said he started getting calls from people he knows on teams and personnel departments when the Patriots hit their 7-game win streak, you know, kind of in the middle of that streak, and they were briefly atop the AFC. And he said a lot of these people were saying to him, like, maybe we reacted a little bit too strongly, you know, maybe we went a little bit too far the other direction, and this is making us reconsider a little bit. Other people I talked to said, well, let's see what happens in the playoffs, and let's see what happens in a game where Mac has to lead his team back from a deficit. And, you know, since I started reporting the story, the Patriots have two losses, the Bills and the Colts games. And in those games, Jones looked like a quarterback who had hit the rookie wall. But I don't think that takes away what he's shown this season, that he could be a day one starter on a team that will at this point likely make the playoffs, We see quarterbacks, you know, rookie wall is not uncommon. A two-game stretch of playing poorly is also not uncommon of a quarterback of any age. But I do think there is a little bit of the sense of, yeah, okay, he's gotten them to this point, but, you know, is he the kind of quarterback that could lead him on a deep playoff run? And I don't know that we're going to get that answer this year, right? This is just year one. There's a lot of growth to do, both for Mac and for the rest of the roster. But I think certainly we can say that a takeaway of this season is that, hey, here's a way that a team stayed at number 15, didn't trade up, picked a guy that doesn't have the entire skill set that's in vogue right now, and found a way to be a successful team.
Isn't that the perfect lesson, though, right? Regardless, because what did we say about the Ravens and Lamar Jackson a couple of years ago? They stayed where they were, they picked the guy that was talented, and then they didn't care, and they built an offense around him. And I think, like, that's the beautiful thing about Mac Jones, is it's flipped everything back 180, and it's saying, listen, like, it's shaking everybody and saying, like, it doesn't need to look one way. All you need to do is build around what people do best. And, like, every Super Bowl team is an example of, you know, maybe outside of, like, the Buccaneers, who are just so overwhelmingly talented, and there's a couple of these teams that you have every couple of years, but the best Super Bowl teams are the ones that say, I understand who all my players are at their core, and I'm putting them in positions to be successful, regardless of, you know, prior talent or expertise or draft stock or any of this stuff. And I think that's, like, the beautiful thing about this, right? Like, Mac Jones is Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is Mac Jones. Gary Gramling is Connor Orr, and everybody is all in this together.
I think that's exactly right, Connor, and I'm glad you kind of drew that line between those two examples, because really the takeaway should be that there isn't necessarily one prototype. But if you're drafting a guy in the first round, there's probably something that they do that is exceptional. It doesn't have to be the same thing. You don't have to be looking for the one thing that's the same as everybody else that they do well. But they do something exceptional, and you say, okay, I can use that to help this team win games. I can build a winning team around this thing that the quarterback does that's exceptional. And I think that's probably a pretty good rule of thumb for anyone searching for a quarterback.
I want to, as we wrap this up, I do want to make sure that I sound like the most insufferable football guy possible. And, you know, you hear a lot coming into draft season and all this stuff about, you know, what do you want in a quarterback? And, you know, you'll get the old school guys being like, I want a guy who can stare down the gun barrel and make the throw and that sort of stuff. And I will say, Mac Jones kind of fits that mold. And I would specifically point to, if you were to go back to the Colts loss, and obviously this ended up being a meaningless touchdown because Jonathan Taylor closed out the game soon after, but he had a throw in the red zone. They had to have it with a pass rusher bearing down directly in his face. He couldn't step into the throw. He was drifting back a little bit, and he just sort of fired a perfectly placed ball to, I believe it was Hunter Henry, in the front of the end zone, you know, just out of the reach of the hook defender, who was Darius Leonard on that play, if I remember correctly. And it's that kind of thing where it's like, okay, you can't create your own time and space as well as others. He's not completely incapable, but he doesn't do it at the kind of level that we see some of these guys doing it. So you have to be able to operate under heavy pressure. And I don't think you see that in a lot of guys coming up who play stylistically like Mac Jones. But I think Jones has proven himself in that area. And I guess from a larger standpoint, it's almost like a warning to teams who are maybe saying, okay, well, we got to find our Mac Jones. You can identify, you know, a guy physically who plays like him, or a guy who processes quickly at the college level, but can that guy ramp up his processing speed when he gets to the NFL level? And can he operate in, you know, basically every college offense operates in more open spaces than they do in the NFL, some in much more open spaces than they do in the NFL. Can your guy operate in the very condensed, claustrophobic arena of a NFL pocket?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Gary, because you often hear the high floor assessment of quarterbacks, and not always are the high floor quarterbacks actually high floor quarterbacks. I mean, we heard that about Sam Darnold a few years back, right? So, but I think where the Patriots were able to make that assessment accurately, I think that's where Belichick's friendship with Saban comes in, because he was able to have a thorough, in-depth understanding, perhaps more than any other NFL talent evaluator, about the things that Jones had behind the scenes, the things that don't necessarily show up on tape, to make him confident that he had those other compensating abilities, that processing speed, you know, the ability to get the ball out or to withstand pressure. The things that you just described, Gary, that if you don't have mobility, you absolutely have to have in order to play right away. So I think Belichick was more able, perhaps, than others to get that information because he's so close with Saban, and thus was confident in his assessment of Jones as a high floor guy. But it's not necessarily an easy assessment to come to in a lot of different circumstances.
And a lot of those player comps are so problematic, right, in general, because they disinform the scouting process, right? Because if you're saying, I want a Mac Jones, where does the scout start, right? He starts at the beginning of the process, looking at quarterbacks and trying to basically overlap them onto an archetype, right? And I think what's interesting is two things. One quarterback's coach told me that, you know, throughout the pre-draft process, you can see how teams react this way, right? And there's a general, I'm not going to say unintelligence, but herd mentality, where the quarterback's coach said, if something is popular right now at the moment, like if Mac Jones is popular, I'll take Mac Jones's best throw, I'll coach my quarterback to do it, and then at his pro day, he'll do it 8 times in front of scouts, and then that just completely messes up their whole evaluatory block, and they're just like, nope, this is Mac Jones, this is Mac Jones, we have to take this guy. And the flip side to that is, you know, another quarterback's coach, movement trainer, Bobby Stroop, who works with Patrick Mahomes, said, could you imagine, like, when Patrick was coming of age, Peyton Manning was the archetype. If everybody tried to teach Patrick Mahomes how to be Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes wouldn't exist. There would be no Patrick Mahomes, and that would have screwed everything up. And so the problem with these archetypes is, like, you can't even say you're looking for your next Lamar Jackson, because what are you doing then? You're overlaying your expectations onto a quarterback that is not Lamar Jackson, and that is just problematic from day one.
Yeah, and to that point, Connor, I think the best expectation to have is the quarterback that we take and we develop is going to win games in the way that his skill set and this quarterback is best suited to. And that is what the Patriots have done with Mac Jones.
The MMQB NFL podcast is Jenny Vretis, Connor Orr, and me, Gary Gramling. We are produced by Shelby Royston. SI's executive producer of podcasts is Scott Brody, and our senior podcast producer is Dan Bloom. Mark Mravick is emeritus editor of the MMQB, and Andy Benoit is the founder of the MMQB NFL podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this feed on Apple Podcasts, and once you do, please leave a rating and review, because it really does help other people find the show, which is also available on Spotify, Stitcher, SI.com, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.